Everybody super energetic today, looks like. So it's got to be a good day. Thankful for today. If you want to get your Bibles open, we're going to go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. We're in a series in Mark on Sunday mornings, but because of the fact that we're having Veterans Sunday, we're going to do the Sunday morning, the Mark message during Sunday school hour, and then it's going to be recorded if anybody wants to keep up with it. But I wanted to keep track and continue on going through the book of Mark 1 week at a time so we don't get too far off of it. Announcement-wise, Sunday school time change starts next Sunday. We're going to be doing it at 10 in the morning instead of 9:45. So what, 10 in the morning instead of 9:45? The reason why is because we're going to begin having a children's church for the van and for those that come pick up. Actually, any children are welcome to come. It's for ages 5 all the way up to 12. And it's from 8:45 to 9:45. And so next week, me and Brother Christian are going to do a lot of the teaching, a lot of the work with it, and my wife also, to try it as we learn and set things up. But we're looking for helpers from 8:45 to 9:45. If you'd like to be a part of that, the great thing about that is it is an opportunity. Anybody who wants to help can. It is going to be an outreach. We will still have junior church as we normally do. They'll still have Sunday school snack time, regular time. But for those that we are transporting in and back and forth, we just don't have enough workers back there for the back for the amount of children that we have. And I want to be a part of their lives too. I want to be a part of teaching them. So we're going to try this out. So we're moving our Sunday school hour up to 10 o'clock. Next week, we're going to start a college and career class where Mr. Alan Berry will be teaching that. So those that are in that college and career age group, all the rest of the adults, we're going to be, and we're going to do something, going to try it out, is we're going to move back to the old fellowship hall, because there's not a huge number of number of people that are out here. So we're going to try what it's going to be for a week or two in the old fellowship hall to see if we have enough room there. So next week, Sunday school starts at 10. Old Fellowship Hall, and Mr. Berry and the College and Career will be in another room in the new building, and all those different things. You got questions about that, we'll figure it out as time goes along. Other things going on today is Veterans Sunday, so we have a special day planned out. Hopefully, we'll have some veterans come. If you see the tables there in the back, there's three separate tables. So one is for the extended family members that are over there. You'll see the relations that are there. I see the one that's sitting there looking at me is the Martins, Bob and Fran Martin's daughter. And so you'll see the relationships there. So that's the extended family. The one in the middle is an honor of people who have been part of her church, have gone on to be with the Lord. And so that's kind of in memory of and honor of. And then over there on that side is those that are currently part of her church family or in the area and things like that, regular attenders, church members and things like that. And I've enjoyed looking all the pictures, getting to know some. And some of the people, I did not know a couple of the people that attend our church on a regular basis were veterans, and I found that out through the pictures that they turned in. So I encourage you to take some time, look at those, see what some people look like back when they were 18, 19, 20, and some of the other, it was really neat to see. Following the morning service, during the service, we're going to honor the veterans with a gift, and then we're going to have a dinner for everyone that's involved. Everyone that attends that wants to come, it's going to be ham and mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, things like that. And looking forward to a good day following dinner. We're going to have a Sinkspiration. And so Brother Christian will be the one preaching this afternoon, a shorter message. And then I think we have probably 7 or 8 specials and probably about 10 favorites. So if you have a favorite, have that ready for the afternoon service. Then you got prayer and praise service. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. Thanksgiving luncheon is this coming Tuesday. If you'd like to be a part of Thanksgiving luncheon, we need you to sign up today. What our luncheons are is just a time of fellowship and friendship and food. Sometimes people don't have family to spend Thanksgiving with, so it's a Thanksgiving-style meal, but it's for anyone who would like to come, but we do need you to sign up today so we know how many people we need to plan for. Business meeting on the 27th and the 4th. Those are probably, it's going to be showing you the 2023 budget, and then a week later getting approval for that. Still working on a Christmas parade float. Had a few people talk about being interested in helping. If you'd like to help us with that, please see me. And there's also on there announcements about prayer partner fellowship, adult Christmas banquets, and table decorating. So there's a sign-up sheet out there for the adult Christmas banquet. If you'd like to decorate one of the tables, You're welcome to see my wife about that. We always enjoy having people help us decorate, and it's been a blessing and encouragement for those that get a chance to decorate, but also those that get to enjoy it too. Okay, so let's jump in here. Mark chapter number one, as I mentioned, we are going through that series on Sunday morning, and since we're going to have a special, more Veterans Day message about freedom and what spiritual freedom looks like and things like that, we decided to do this week's installment of Mark during Sunday school. We left off last week in Mark chapter number 1, verse number 20 is where we finished at, so we're going to start verse 21. And the Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum." So with this, it's really an interesting story, and we're going to read through the whole thing, and I'm going to come back and just going to teach through it some. Jesus has just called Peter, James, and John, and Andrew to his service, and now they're out there, and they're getting ready to serve. We know that there is a time period. We mentioned Mark does not follow everything chronologically, and Mark jumps from one thing to another thing, different time periods. And then you see the word "and." He moves very quickly. He is writing as Christ being a servant. And as he's writing as Christ being a servant, we see him always staying active, because that's what a good servant does, ones that are serving the Lord and always being active. So verse 21, he has called, he has this group there with him. Verse 21, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.' And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your word will come through today loud and clear. And Lord, as we see Jesus surprise this group of people, because he was someone who preached with authority and taught with authority, I pray you help us to see that and understand that where the authority comes from. And Lord, obviously he is God, but he's speaking from God's word. And Lord, that we would understand what authority looks like when it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his word. Help us, Lord, to see that authority in our lives. Help us to bow the knee to it. Also, help us to be ones that speak with authority. And Lord, ones that are going from your word and teaching and preaching the word of God to others. In Jesus' name, amen. So you look in this, and I like it, and I like the way it's kind of laid out. So I think we're going to just kind of walk through the passage a little bit. But the thought behind it was Jesus came and he preached as one with authority. He preached unlike anything they had ever heard before. He preached with a way, and it talked about how they were astonished in verse 22. It's kind of like they were surprised, almost to the point it's like someone hit them. It's like they sat up and they're like, wow, what just happened? As they heard Jesus teach for the first time, and it was like, man, this is awesome. This is amazing. This is great. Here you see in verse number 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum." Capernaum is, we know, is the place where they did most of the center of their ministry there, where Jesus' ministry was mostly centered, not the whole entire time, but Capernaum was mainly his spot that he said, well, he was from Nazareth. Well, Nazareth, remember, didn't really have an interest in Jesus. He was not able to do many mighty works in there because of their unbelief. And so he goes and he begins to be in Capernaum. It says, "And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue." If you look in Luke, it talks about how often he would go on to the Sabbath day. He would go where he was supposed to be, into the synagogue. Now, there's a little difference here. In synagogue and temple are two different places. And the temple was destroyed back there when Babylon came. And so when they were taken captives and they went all the way to Babylon and to the other areas they were dispersed from, if there was 10 Jewish families that were there, they were supposed to begin a synagogue. A synagogue would be more like what we do in our churches today. The temple is a spot where the sacrifice was done. The temple was a spot where the rituals were done. It's the spot where the ark would have been, different things like that. But a synagogue is a spot where they would get up and they would begin to teach and preach the law. They would have a rabbi there. They would have a scribe there. So there is a difference there. Now, just like the church house is different than the temple. The church house is different than the synagogue. But at the same time, the church house would be something that is in consideration more like the synagogue than what you would think of what happens in the synagogue versus what happens inside the temple. You say, well, not everyone could travel to the temple on Sabbath day. Obviously, Israel was a large area, and everybody couldn't travel. They were supposed to travel there a few times a year specifically. But when it comes to this lesson, he comes and he's there. He enters on the Sabbath day and he taught. You say, well, that seems kind of odd. Well, in the synagogues, many times what they would do is if there was a visiting teacher, they would give them the opportunity to speak. We don't do that here unless we know the visiting teacher or preacher or the missionary because of the fact that we want to make, with all the different people out there nowadays, you never know what's being said. Here, many of this group inside the synagogue, they were taught by the scribes or by the rabbis. And it says in verse 22 that he teaches them differently than anybody else. Look what it says in verse 22. I enjoy this. God kind of spoke to my heart about this. And I think this is probably where we're going to spend most of the time in. It says, and they were astonished. They were surprised. They were shocked. They were taken back. It's not just, oh, that's different. It was like an emotional charge that it hit them. Man, this guy is teaching something different like we've never, ever heard the way he's teach, the way he's taught, the way that he's preached. We've never heard it done this way before. You ever heard when you're sitting there and preaching the Holy Spirit of God kind of smack you upside the head with something? I mean, it's happened in my life. And it's there and it's like, man, that I see it. I understand it. I get it now. I see what's going on. Man, God's working in my heart. And that's what he's doing here. Jesus comes and Jesus is teaching. And it says they were astonished. But look at verse 22. It says they were astonished at his what? Anybody see that? Doctrine. So it was the teaching that got them. Now, in a minute, he's going to cast out a demon. And they're going to say, oh, what new thing is this? But still, it's the thing that he was impressed with the most and the first was there was a preaching and a teaching that was going on that caused them to sit up. And he says, this is the way it was done. He says, in verse 22, he says, as one that had authority. Where did Jesus' authority come from? He was God, so he is the ultimate authority. But also he was preaching and teaching the law, and he was preaching and teaching God's word. And it's a little bit of a cut to those that are says, and not as the scribes. He taught with authority and power and things like that, not like the scribes. The scribes were different. The scribes were something that many times what they had done is they would handle the word of God so carefully. They would make sure it was done right and proper. But when it came to teaching, they would come and they would read lengthy passages of the law, and they would be very dry and very dusty. They wouldn't make application. But the one thing they would do is they would begin to quote other rabbis. They would begin to quote other scribes. And what happened, they began to add more and more and more laws. Now they became, instead of the law of God, they began to add this restriction, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what you're supposed to do. And you're going to see through the book of Mark, and you're going to see through the Gospels that Jesus is there and says, you're missing the weightier matters of the law. He says, the things that you're focusing on are things that are smaller and little, and you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law. And he's preaching as one with authority because he had authority because it was backed up with the Bible. And sometimes today we hear people say, well, I think this is right, I think this is right, and I think that is right. And they forget the weightier matters of the law. And then they can't say it with authority because they're basing it off their opinion instead of about what the Bible clearly says and what the Bible clearly teaches us. So we need to be careful as we understand if we truly want to astonish somebody with our words. You say, well, I don't care about astonishing someone. If God gets a hold of somebody's heart while you're teaching or while you're talking to them about the Word of God, that's a good thing. We do want someone to take notice. We do want someone to sit up. There are people that are lost and dying and going to hell, and they need to hear the truth, and they need to hear the truth proclaimed, and it needs to be done with authority, not something that is just wishy-washy. But this is what the Bible says. This is what truth is. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm good with living a biblical life and having biblical standards and having those different things that we believe are important and holding those doctrines to be clear and true. And we develop our standards from biblical principles. I get that. And that's all very important. But we should never let that take place of what the Word of God is saying, the weightier matters. And that's what Jesus was saying. I develop my standards from biblical principles, and if the Bible says it, we say it, it's true, we live it, and that's what we do. But what they did is they kept on adding to it and adding to it, and came in something called the Tamala, and they would sit there and add and add and add to it to where no one even respected them anymore. This time that they came and they listened because they were supposed to and they were required to, they sat and they listened and they weren't impressed, and then someone steps on the scene and he preaches as one with authority, because obviously it's Jesus, he's God, but he's preaching God's word. It's not a bunch of man-made rules. It's what does the Bible say, and thus saith the Lord, and he preaches the word of God out with a heart and a passion because he's doing it with authority. If you stick with the Word of God, you stick with the Bible, you know what you know because it comes from the Scriptures, you're going to be able to speak with authority. And that's what we need, some people to have conviction and power, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he's doing. He is teaching with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's help. He says, not as the scribes. And then it says in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. So someone interrupts the service. You say, Pastor, you know, there's a guy that's with an unclean spirit inside the synagogue? Yes. He said, Pastor, doesn't everybody that comes to church do what's right? No. There are times and people that are going to act ungodly, and things that people are going to do wrong at times. And that's what this man, he is crying out, he's interrupting, he's saying with an unclean spirit, he's there and he's probably sitting in their midst. He's there and he's probably been there every single week. But it's when the Word of God begins to be preached and the Word of God begins to be taught that he cannot stand this. And this is something you see every time we see Jesus with a demon, we see him casting him out of the individual. That's at least from what we can tell in the Scriptures every time we've been. It's because the demon does not want to have anything to do with what being taught. He doesn't want to have the authority. The Lord has the authority over the demon. The Lord has authority over everything, but the demon doesn't like that. And so look what he says in verse 24, saying, let us alone. Isn't that the cry of the world today? Isn't that the cry of those that want to say that they don't believe in God, or they want to do things their own way? Leave us alone. We don't want your truth. We don't want your law. We don't want your Bible. We don't want your Jesus. We want things our own way. And that's what the demon's saying. Why are you here? Everything's good. Everything's working fine. There's no one really serving God here. This is great. Leave us alone. And then he's also referring to, what have we to do with thee? And some people's like, well, what do you have to do with me? What is that important to me? It's because God has given us under the authority of the Bible that we should go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. And when someone gets upset with me, when I knock on a door or when I hang out a bag or when I give them a gospel tract, they're like, why don't you just leave me alone? It doesn't happen very often, but it happens some. And I tell them in a nice way, if they're willing to listen, the reason why I do what I do is because I believe it's under the biblical authority. And when you tell me to stop doing something, I understand I'm going to respect your personal space, but I'm not going to stop doing what the authority that God has given me to do, which is to preach and teach the gospel. Even if the government comes to the point and says, hey, you can't do that anymore, we're still going to do it. We're still going to find a way to do it. And we're going to do it because God's law should come first. And the unclean spirit says, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? And we do have something to do with the world. We do have something to do with the lost. We're supposed to reach them. And then he says, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Most people think of when they call him Jesus of Nazareth, they're trying to insult him a little bit because of Nazareth and the location. And he says, art thou come to destroy us? And can you imagine what this would have been like? You're sitting in church and there's this demonic voice coming out of an individual, and he's saying this, and from what I can see in the setting out in front of everybody, could you imagine sitting there and experiencing that? And he says, I know thee, and he says, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. He says, he recognizes. He says, hey, you're the Holy One of God. You're the Messiah. You're the coming. And then it says in verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. So here Jesus rebukes him, and he casts him out, it says in verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. It's amazing. They're sitting there, and they're, first of all, taken back by the preaching and teaching. They're like, wow, this guy is teaching unlike anything we ever heard before. And the reason why is because the scribes and the rabbis in that day, the tradition, because things are very, very cold, very dead. Now, not everyone. We see examples of the people in the Bible serving the Lord during when John the Baptist, we see that. We see John the Baptist's parents. We see Mary was a woman that was favored of God. It was not everybody, but the religious leaders of that day, many times they were known for being hard-hearted, and they're known for being cold, and they're there and they're teaching over and over and over, and all they're teaching is what they think is right. And Jesus steps on the scene and, as with a breath of fresh air, says, this is what God says. And truth that's there. I pray, and I know as I studied this passage before, I want to be one that teaches with authority. Not because I care about the impressing someone else. I want to preach this authority because I want God to work through me, and I want God to be able to speak to people's hearts. And I think that's how we should also want to do. It doesn't mean it has to be loud. It doesn't mean it has to be quiet. It doesn't mean it has to be done a certain, a specific way. You go and you study through here, and you look at the different things that Jesus teaches and how Jesus deals with people. Many times there's illustrations. They say, hey, I am the door. He talks about sheep. He over and over, you go and watch the way that Jesus teaches and how Jesus deals with those that are struggling and those that are lost and those that are religious. You see the different ways he handles and how they deal with them. And some people say, hey, Pastor, I wish you were like this, or I wish you were like that. And I'm trying to be exactly what God wants me to be, but I want to be like Christ, and I want God to be able to have authority behind it because it's the Word of God. And that's, I think, we should desire too. When we say things, we should base it off what the Word of God says, because there's an authority that comes behind that, authority you bring with it. And it's not just saying one thing and focusing on it and saying, hey, this is authority, and then going and acting ungodly. That no, you can't pick and choose. That's, Jesus didn't do that. That's what the Pharisees had done. They picked and chose one thing. He says, let's embellish this, and let's make this and lift this up. No, it's the whole. It's the whole counsel of God. And he casts out, and I love this, he has authority to teach. He has authority over the demons too. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. He has all authority in heaven. He has all authority in earth. You're going to look at next week, we're going to look at Simon's. They go to Simon's wife's mother is sick, and he has authority over the diseases. And then later on next week, you're going to see how he's there, and there's verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not that they would speak. He has authority over that, and authority over that, and authority over that, and authority over that. So here's the question. Does he have authority in your life? If we want to be one that speaks with authority, and we want to be one that that has God's power on us, it means that I want to give him authority in my life. I want him to rule me. I want him to be Lord. Should he have authority? The answer is yes. I mean, if the demon's going to listen to him, I mean, why do we feel like we're any better? And once again, I understand the free choice and the free will that we have. I get all that. But I read this passage of Scripture, and I see that he's there. He's going into the Sabbath. He does that. Why is that? It's because we're supposed to be in God's house. We don't do it on the Sabbath anymore. We do it first day of the week, as we're taught in the New Testament. They're under the law here. They're astonished by him because he taught and preached like others. And we're not looking for someone who is going to just mimic what someone else says. We're looking for someone who is going to say, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says," and do it with a passion and do it with a conviction, but also do it with the spirit and the heart that he had. Because you see later on throughout all the Scriptures how he deals with people. He comes to them, and many times he is kind and caring. And this morning we're going to look at, just for a second, that woman that was cast in front of him, that was taken in the act of adultery. And what does he do to her? Everybody there wants, and once again, it was their religion. They wanted to see what they were trying to trick Jesus. They wanted to accuse Jesus, and it was all about, how can I make someone else mess up so I can look at him and point a finger at him? And Jesus, thankfully, can see through all that. All the religious things that they tried to institute, and they didn't like Jesus was teaching this way. They didn't like the power that Jesus was teaching with. He rejected their offers in John chapter number 3. He was there, and so Jesus dealt with all of them, and he also deals with the lady. But you see how he deals with different people in different ways is because he's doing it with authority. He has the power to do all things. And with that being said, is he an authority in our life too? Of course he is. But do we act like he has authority in our life? You know, there are people that we have, everybody has different authorities in their lives. We have different things we're supposed to respect, different things we're supposed to listen to. You consider the speed limit. That's, you know, because you live in America, you choose to drive on that road, you're supposed to follow the speed limit. And when the police officer pulls you over, they have authority in that area of being able to enforce the law. There's different forms of authority when it comes to your work, different forms of authority when it comes to different areas of your life. Even the Bible talks about a little bit of a pastoral authority, and the Bible talks about all different types of authorities that parents have over their children, all those different types of authorities when it comes to families and things like that. But the question is that it boils down to, the demons listen, but do we listen? And there's that spot in Luke, and Jesus looks at them and says, Why call ye me Lord? Or why call ye me Lord? And it's not the perfect quote. And doest not the things that I say. And I tell you, that's one of the most convicting verses in all the Bible for me. Because I want to call him Lord. I want to sing to him. I want to pray to him as he's God. But that means I should do the things that he asks and that he commands for me to do. So as I'm looking through this passage, I'm going through Mark, and I see that this new man has entered on the scene. He has called disciples to come and follow him. He enters into the synagogue. He is known, and he is able to teach. And they sit back, and they're like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. He's teaching unlike anything we've ever heard before. And that's spirit-filled teaching. And that's what I want to be, and that's what I think we should desire to be, is a teacher that is spirit-filled. Not because we want them to be astonished by us, but we want God to work, and we want God to change our lives, and we want God to make a difference. And that comes when we take things based off the authority of the Word of God. When we bring our own opinions, the only authority we have is me. I have had sometimes someone look at you and say, why should I listen to you? You have no authority in my life. Sometimes we've had other people, probably we offer someone suggestions and try to be helpful with them. But if your child comes up to you and says, I demand you to do this, what type of authority does that carry? It doesn't. And when someone tells me, I insist that we do things this way, and you know, I prayerfully consider things, but when you insist when you don't have authority, then what does that mean? It means that there is no reason there to have to listen. At the same time, we come to this moment and we come to this time when we look at this passage, we see the authority he has, that even the demons listen to him. But do we listen? So today, as we consider all these different things, I want us to remember this. Jesus is one that had authority. Jesus has given us authority to go out and tell the world. He's given us authority in other areas of our lives and things that we're supposed to do. And sometimes he lifts us up and gives us positions. We're supposed to be servant. We're supposed to be servant leaders, servant of God. I understand all that. But what type of authority do you live under? My authority? I'm going to do things my way? Or am I going to say, okay, God, I want to listen to you. Now, the amazing thing is, as I walk past in the morning times and I consider the throne and I bow my head and I say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life today. I also walk past Calvary and I consider Calvary. He's an easy authority to listen to. He's right. He's not wrong. You ever had a boss that didn't seem like they knew what they were doing and that they were wrong, but you still had to follow alongside of them? Just because that was your responsibility, they had an authority. Today we're talking about veterans, and we're talking about honoring your veterans, and we know that there's different establishments of authority that you have to follow, and you have to follow all those things where we have authority in our life. Now, are we following the established authority in our lives? This morning, let's walk past that throne and see that he is God and say, I know you're God. I know I'm supposed to listen to you in all areas. God, help me to be someone who speaks with authority because I speak on your behalf. Now, when that child comes up to you and says, Dad wants to do it this way, or Dad's asking if we can do it this way, or Mom's asking if we can do it this way, it changes things, doesn't it? Instead of your five-year-old telling you, hey, I think we should do it this way, it carries more weight when someone else is there and says, you know what, Dad, like for you to do it this way. It changes because there's authority. So when Jesus sends us out, he's giving us the right to say, I want you to go out and I want you to tell. Who told you to go talk to somebody? God did. Who told you to forgive, or who told you to be kind, or who told you this or that? It's the authority of the Bible. As we get ready to close, and I know that the last couple Sunday schools we've been ending about 10:30, and I want you to make good use of your time here, but think about what authority do you have in your life, and how are you at being servant to the Lord? He spoke as one with authority because he had great authority, because he was God. And we also should be ones that can speak with authority because it's based off the Word of God. And with the Holy Spirit of God, he can help us to astonish people. Why is that? Because he wants to reach people too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for